Ask the Podcast Coach for December 5th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, that's right. You don't hear the music. I do. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. We are here every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And I am lucky enough to be joined by the one and only. He's wearing a talk shirt today. How cool is that? Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. I'll just play that music locally here so I can hear
it. That's it.
And just get me fired up for the show. It is kind of a social, or I mean a psychological factor. We play that music, and yeah. It kind of gets me ready for the show. So I want to welcome everyone out to Ask the Podcast Coach this morning.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I can't play the buzz or anything like that. Yeah. If you're new to the show, I've been battling a weird ground loop problem, and I really thought I had it fixed today, and I have now isolated what it is, and I won't bore you with the details because it gets into submixing and things like that, but it was just a matter of changing cords, changing cables, and first I thought it because it was weird. I thought it was maybe just coming out of the computer, and because I have ground loop isolators out the yin-yang, and yeah, so we do have a caller coming in, so Mr. No at Nope Cupcake Zone, how are you?
Hey guys,
how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys?
Good. What do you got against cupcakes, man?
No, it's not. It's not that I got anything against cupcaking. Cupcakes. It's no cupcaking. You know the cupcake guy is like that brown noser. You know, politically correct guy. So, you know, in my zone, there's nothing sweet about it. I just give it to you rough, raw, and you know, rugged.
Just the way it is.
There you go. Just awesome. Well, yeah. What can we help you with?
Man, I've been having a terrible time. You know, I've just got into podcasting, excuse me for the light. And I've got an audience now, man, which I've been studying and I've been spending my time with the sound. And, you know, as I got more of an audience, now I'm like really self-conscious about the sound. I can't get like some buzzing. I mean, maybe I just need to upgrade the type of software I'm using. I use Audacity. And when I record on Audacity, there's a lot of buzzing. And I've tried to use that noise removal.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And it's just I've had a couple of great interviews and I had to redo the interviews, and it's kind of embarrassing because, you know, you get good content and then you hear that little buzz or.
Right. Let's go through your food chain. What microphone are you using?
You know what? I'm embarrassed to say I went to eBay and got one of those studio mics or, you know, one of these jobs, BM 800.
Okay. Is there any way that you've recorded, like, have you tried recording into any other software to see? I doubt it's the software.
Yeah, probably not. A buzz is not. Usually that's mechanical.
Yeah, so the microphone.
Yeah. It's in the power setting somewhere. I always, if you can switch things around a little bit to get them on different equipment so you can isolate it down to what's the piece of equipment that's causing the problem. I'm assuming, is that mic XLR or is it USB?
It's a XLR.
You're going into a board?
Yeah, I'm going into a board, a Behringer Xenix Q802 USB.
Got it. And are you? Go ahead, Jim.
I caught a sale on Guitar Center. I got an MXL 990 now, which I've read some reviews is supposed to be a better mic. But I don't know. I've tried a dynamic mic, but it's like the buzzing. I don't know. I'm just confused. Well, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Here's the cool thing. You have two microphones now. So plug in the one microphone, record it. Plug in the second microphone, record it. If the buzz goes away, you know it's the microphone. And this is what you have to do with troubleshooting is you try to isolate every single piece of the chain. So this morning I was swapping out cables because I have a ground loop problem where I have this thing. And so I thought I had it isolated, but I was changing out cables. I found the one thing My one problem was I have these little adapters that basically you can convert an RCA into this quarter inch. And I noticed that these have two black labels, and the one that was working had one. And I was like, well, maybe this is more for like a headphone jack, which doesn't make sense. But at any rate, I swapped it out, and that fixed, because I had a weird problem where I only had one headphone. So it's a matter of going through and isolating, you know, different things. So, you know, you can do things like switch to a different channel in your mixer. Let's make sure it's not that, this is a problem. If you don't have a lot of equipment laying around, like try a different cable. If you have a different mic cable, it might be that. Also, number one, make sure your phone's nowhere near it. I know Jim can tell me when I put my phone near my mixer, we get all sorts of weird stuff, which is great because we're all walking around with those things next to our head. So check that out. Turn off, if you have any fluorescent lights, turn those off. There's all sorts of weird things that cause problems. If you can, try to keep the cables from crisscrossing each other, especially with electrical cables. That can cause problems. But just try to isolate everything. And because
the computer itself can be the problem too. So you might want to move that and the power that it's on. So where you're plugged into in your house, that can make a difference. So maybe take it to a different room, try a different circuit in the house. You know, you just got to kind of troubleshoot it around. I know that's a pain. Is it a PC or a Mac?
It's a PC.
And a laptop?
It's a laptop.
Laptop. Yeah. So you still want to, I would still move that around into a few different areas if you can and make sure your power's clean. Because the connectors oftentimes create a circuit. And then if that circuit has noise on it, it'll flow right into the sound. And so you just got to kind of isolate it and figure out if you're going through adapters, that's a bad deal. Like in a lot of older homes, you know, it's two plug. And so people use that gray adapter that converts three plug to two. And that can cause problems. So you got to, like Dave says, I think you just got to isolate all the things. It may take you half a day. Get it figured out.
He said he's blind. He's getting blinded.
It's a little bright, little explosion going on behind us. So does that make sense? I think that's a much better picture, by the way, too. Yeah. So work your way around the house, try some different cables, try the different mics, record in different ways. But I always say, like when I'm troubleshooting PCs, get it down to the simplest possible configuration you can first. That's the like laptop. I mean, I would almost take your laptop, plug it in, and record from the laptop mic that's there.
Yeah.
And let's just see, okay, are you getting the buzzing with the mic that's on, that's built into the laptop first?
Because if it is, game over. Okay.
You know, and then I would add the mixer. Don't plug anything into it. Just plug in the USB mixer to the laptop. Don't plug anything in. Again, record off the laptop mic and see if it's maybe the mixer. Maybe you're getting that ground loop problem with the mixer, right? And then start plugging things in. So start simple and work to the complex.
And then the other thing, the other tip I would have, get one of these, and it sounds weird, but write down, okay, swapped out cable, noise still there. Because when you get into really nasty troubleshooting, you don't sit down and go, you know what? I'm going to spend the next 3 hours troubleshooting. But the problem is when you're in 3 hours in, you forget what you did an hour ago. And so when you write down, okay, I did this. This is what I learned from this. I did this. This is what I learned from that. And it just helps the whole process to go, okay, well, like for me, you know, I thought everything was fixed. And then I went, wait a minute, I'm not using the right cable. So I plugged in the right cable and the noise came back. I'm like, well, I know where it is now because I troubleshot everything else. And when I get off and I plugged in a ground loop isolator, the ground loop is so horribly bad that it reduced it, but it was still pretty nasty. So it might be that cable. I know Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast said, plug everything into the same surge protector. And I don't think that's what I'm doing right now. So it's because I moved recently and I had a ground problem before. And here it got worse. And I was like, eh. So, but yeah, just to isolate.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, one thing I've been doing, I've been going to people to get interviews. I'm trying to, come up with a solution for the interviews, not remotely. Just from here. I've been using Spreaker and I've been using Uber Conference, and it's been, the problem I'm having with that is the caller voices are so low, like it makes processing like a nightmare. Do you guys have any recommendations on what tool I should use? Should I use Skype in a different software?
Well, you're calling them via Skype and you're recording them via Spreaker.
No. Uber Conference. Uber Conference is a free conference room.
Yeah. Number one, Uber Conference gives you an MP3 file. You always want to record in WAV and keep it as WAV as long as you can until you mix down to your final MP3. You'll end up with a better sound that way. Use on the PC, I use a thing called Call Burner that actually gives me both sides of the conversation and a mixed down version, and I just record via Skype.
Okay.
You know, that's if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/callburner, I actually have a video that shows you how I use it.
Why do you use Uber Conference? Can I ask?
Because I have a friend that, he got into podcasting before me, and his sound, I mean, his show sounds pretty clean. But that's what he uses. And
are you using it for the call in? Are you using it so they can dial in, or are you using it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which sometimes
to get my callers and I just thought it was an easy way to get a bunch of callers in.
Yeah.
I don't have any other technology.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
That would work. Yeah. Because we used it originally back in the day of this show, we were using Uber Conference, and it's not bad. It's a free conference call. You know, I think we had problems where every time somebody joined, it went blunk. Which drove us crazy.
It makes some funny sounds for sure. Yeah. You know, you could on Skype, you could purchase a line there. They're not terribly expensive. I think it's like $3 a month.
Yeah.
And they'll give you a phone number and you can call into Skype and you get a lot more recording options on Skype than you'd get on Uber Conference.
Yeah.
You also get better. I think you get better sound and better sound adjustment on Skype than you would on Uber Conference. Yeah. So that may be a consideration. Again, it's a couple bucks a month, not terribly expensive. I think $299 or $399 gets you unlimited for the month with a separate number. It's a default I've gone to when I've had to have a guest and we've had to call them on Skype. That's just really the best way to do it. And Skype's got a pretty good plan for that. So you might check that out. Try it for a month. Test it. Again, it's one of those things. Kind of test it. See if you get better audio with it. You can always sign up for it and cancel it if it doesn't do what you want to do, but it might be a way of getting better audio back into you get more audio control that way.
Okay. Okay. What do you think is, I mean, for a successful podcaster, what would be a nice benchmark, you know, for listeners? Like, you know, for sure. I do just speak out on iTunes or Stitcher yet. What do you think, you know, there's got to be like a certain point, like, you know, if I'm not getting 1,000 listens, you know, within a year, I should, you know, it's not, I'm not being effective. What do you think is a good benchmark?
It's hard to say, because if I'm doing a podcast about people that like to play the Atari 2600, right? Old piece of equipment, outdated, mm-hmm. Nobody's doing that thing anymore. But there's probably somebody out there who's really just addicted to Centipede, right? Now, if I get 300 really engaged listeners, that's a success, because it's so niche. You know, if I'm doing the chocolate covered fish stick podcast, right? Nobody likes chocolate covered fish sticks, but the people that do, right, are going to like love. So it's hard to say. Now, if I'm doing a weight loss podcast and I'm getting 30 downloads, I'm going to be like, I probably should be able to get more than that. So it's hard for me. And then success is defined by so many people. You know, define success by how much are you making? Well, it could be how many people are you inspiring, or how many friends have you made? Or there are so many ways to benefit from a podcast. The average right now is, I believe, 165. Like 50% of people get 165 or less, and then 50% get more. And the reason that number is so low, because it keeps going down, it was up to almost 200, is so many people are launching podcasts, and it's driving that number down. So, you know, somebody will start and they got, great, how many downloads you got? I got 10, right? Well, that drags everybody's total down. So it kind of depends on how you define success. Jim, what do you say to this question?
Yeah, no, same thing. I think you just got to go into it saying how do you want to measure success? And it could be impact, and it could be total number of listeners, or it could be a revenue type deal, yeah. Right? If you're getting engagement, right, through an Amazon affiliate link, or, you know, kind of what you do. So I think you set the standard, right? What do you want to achieve with this? And I think it's okay, by the way, to say, I want 10,000 listeners. And if that's your goal, you got to get after it, right? And you got to do everything you can. So I think you set that measure of success. What are what are the two or three goals you're hoping for when you started the podcast? Let me ask you this. When you started the podcast, what did you want to achieve? Why did you start it?
Oh, I started it, for basically another source of revenue. I want to get out of the corporate world and I want to do something that I love every day. So that was the whole goal. But I mean, as I started doing it, it's really fun. So, the money is not so much. It's like just the engagement, the quality. I mean, I'm more concerned about, putting a better product out there now. So
you're doing it, right? You're doing it. You're having fun. You're having a good time. It's working the way you want it to. You're meeting that goal. I don't think having a financial goal is a bad idea.
Right? No.
Is saying, I think, 200 a month in Amazon affiliate link sales or whatever, it's a mark of engagement. And that's what you're intending to do. And you're getting those kind of numbers. And I think you're being successful. So I think you set that. So kind of think it through and say, what do I want to do? And then if you're meeting it, great. And then push on to the next level.
Okay.
And lastly, what's your website?
You know what? I it was 239 Unscripted. I had to put the kibosh on that because I'm not an internet dude. I tried to do the WordPresses and all that stuff and learn that, and it just got overwhelming. And it was like I was spending hours and hours trying to figure all that stuff out, and I wasn't doing my podcast, so I just kind of just stuck to Facebook, and my Spreaker thing as my website. I don't really have a website yet, but that's in the plans. But
that'll boost things a lot right there. When you can tell people, find me on Facebook instead of go to schoolofpodcasting.com, and that then gives you a home base to, your website is that's your rock. That's your basement. And then you build Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all on top of that. Because if Facebook goes away, anybody listen to the last Social Media Examiner? Guy had 400,000 people on his Facebook page, and his Facebook page went boop, just gone. And what was hilarious, if you listen to this episode, they politely turned up the heat on Facebook to get it fixed. And as Michael Stelzner and Eric Fisher are recording, talking about, whoo, it's back, Eric goes, Michael, you're not going to believe this. Hit pause. And they're like, what? He's like, it's gone again. So don't build your house on rented land. That's not a good, on that? Because it can, I always tell people, I'll be interested to see where Facebook is in 10 years. I mean, I know, everybody goes, oh, it's way too big. And it's like, I've seen things that have been too big to fail.
But you can go to, that is a valid start, right?
Yeah,
a good place to go, get some things going. Eventually, if you want to grow your numbers, what Dave's saying, you need to get your own website and move on. But that's smart, though. I mean, I like the thought of like, hey, I'm wasting so much time on my website. I'm not spending time making great content.
Exactly.
And I think that's the right motivation. So I think you're doing the right thing, which is, hey, I need to create great content. The listeners will come. If you're making great content and the word gets out, the listeners will be there.
Yeah. So
you're making crap. People
having a website is going to help.
Right? Yeah. Get a great website. You'll just have a great website that has crappy podcasts. So I think you're doing the right thing. Good work.
Well, and the cool thing is you started. Right. You started, you launched, you know what's entailed. And now you're like going, OK, now I want to take it a little more seriously. And that's why you're here asking about how do I get rid of this buzz and things like that. So awesome, man. Well, thanks for popping in.
Oh, thank you for having me, man.
I'm hooked on this show
now, so I'm going to be definitely watching and sharing it for you guys.
Cool.
Appreciate that. All right. Have a great afternoon.
And I need to clarify. I accidentally said average. It's the median. The median is, I think it's 165. And I got that from the feed, which is the podcast from Libsyn. So those are Libsyn numbers. That's not across all of podcasting, but they're a pretty big provider.
Good number.
And then Bill had mentioned, does that include those who pod fade? And I believe he takes out the top, the Mark Marons of the world, and he takes out those people who have two downloads. And then he bases it on that, if I remember right.
Yeah, and I guess we shouldn't fixate on the number 165. Let's just say, if you're below 200 or so, you're right. If you're above it, you're doing pretty well from that, you know, from there. So it's, and again, at the end of the day, I like what you're saying, Dave. It's just like, what am I trying to do? You know, what do I want to achieve? And if that achieving is, in his case, financial independence, well, then starting a podcast on a heavy niche is probably not the way to get going. In the meantime, just starting a sports podcast or just starting a tech podcast or a storytelling podcast doesn't guarantee success either. I mean, because those are big markets. You have to have content people want to come and listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's just one of those things. You got to keep at it.
I had a question that I wanted to share. This came into my email. This is from Matthew Tomasi. He says, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. I understand you get heaps of people like me asking for advice, and I'm hoping you'd point me in the right direction. I'm in the very early planning stages of starting a podcast, but I have a technical question I'm struggling to get my head around. My podcast aims to interview people such as athletes, businesses, entrepreneurs, etc., and find out what their secrets to success are. To monetize my podcast, I want to cut out the secrets to success section and make this only available to subscribing members, possibly through a WordPress plugin membership site. The one to the public, doesn't contain the secrets to success section. That'll be one that I publish to the, the podcast that doesn't contain the secrets to success section will be the one that I publish to the world via iTunes. What is the best way to achieve this? To which I emailed him back. I said, so you're selling cream sticks without the cream. I go, have you ever had a cream stick without the cream? They're bland and they're not very good for you. I mean, I'll eat something unhealthy if I get some cream in the middle of it, a little chocolate on top. All right, I'll do that. And I just went, you know, now there are people like Andrew, photobizx.com. I remember his website. He started off with what I'll call premium podcast because he said, look, I can't do this for free. But I would not, anytime I ever have run into a podcast where they're like, and now to answer that question, you got to subscribe to the membership. I'm like, unsubscribe. Because, I want to use the phrase, never mind, I won't go there. I want to go dirty. I want to go blue. Let's go that route. I want to go blue. And if you know what I'm talking about,
Not explicit.
Yeah, not explicit. Yeah. So don't get me there and leave me hanging. So I was like, I wouldn't use that. I said, I would go, if you're going to go this route, you know, a digital access pass, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/getdap, is a membership site I used for a very, very, very long time. And the only reason I moved had nothing to do with DAP. It had to do with, I moved to a system that made it easier to organize my information. I believe they actually have a premium RSS feed. Now, I wouldn't submit that to iTunes, but you can have members that can get your podcast via RSS. I never tested that, but I know it's a feature in there. So that would be a way to do that. And then I would just put, you know, the 5 episodes or 10 or however many, you know, I call this the Marin method, where he has, I think, the last 50. And then if you want the back archives, you got to do that. But I just thought it was interesting. I'm going to take the really thing that people are tuning into and not give it to them. And I went, I don't know that that's, Jim, any different thoughts on that?
I think, you know, so have great content and give some valuable stuff away in the free stuff. And then the bonus content should be the really valuable stuff, right? The those kinds of things that people are really willing to pay for. So withholding that, and everybody does it differently. I'm just not a big fan of that. And I don't do it and I don't need to do it. So when people ask me that question, how do I monetize that? I'm like, I don't know. Cause I don't do a lot of that premium, those premium content pieces.
I think it was Ray Edwards that said, you can tell people for free what to do. You charge them on how to do it. And I went, that's an interesting way of looking at that. We have a blab question. And I will, I can't hit the button.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is any tricks to balancing the sound on blab between speakers on blab. Yes. I go, Jim, turn up your microphone or turn down my microphone. There isn't any. That was the one cool thing about Hangouts is you had that little bar and you could go in and adjust the mixer and stuff. So what I do is I record this locally. So I basically can adjust the volume here. And of course, when in doubt, run everything through Auphonic and you know, you're good to go. But Jim, do you know any?
No, it's a drawback to the system.
Yeah. So here he comes, Mr. Mr. Wizard. So yeah, there is no way. It's a limitation currently to Blab.
Yeah, well, there are probably some mechanical ways on the back end of bringing it in and then remixing it and then sending it to a recorder and mixing it that way. So, hey, can I tell a quick because of my podcast story?
Oh, only after I hit a marker. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
So 3 or 4 weeks ago, we started a new webcast at Gallup. It's called Polling Matters. Frank Newport, one of our editor-in-chief of Gallup.com. And he's done stuff like this before. He's a radio pro and he's on NPR and he does some cool stuff, but I want to give him his own podcast. And so for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, I've been kind of working on him. Hey, Frank, let's do this podcast thing. And so we, by the way, this is a Spreaker only offering right now. So we were just talking about, we'll eventually get this onto Gallup.com, but I just kind of wanted to try it out. I'd like, before we make a big deal about stuff, let's see if anybody will actually even listen to this thing. Right. And so, so we put three together and a Spreaker only. And if you go into Spreaker and search for Polling Matters, the podcast, that's Frank's little 10-minute podcast, Frank giving some commentary on Gallup numbers. You know, that's what we do. We survey the world. And so he gives some commentary on numbers that we've gotten in, mostly US based, stuff. So if you're outside of the United States, it may not be as interesting, but if you're into US politics, it might be. So, we got three. So Frank sent me an email this week and he said, "Hey Jim, I just want to say something interesting," and I won't name names, but a bureau chief of a pretty important newspaper, but both online and print, that's not here in the United States, contacted me for an interview. He had heard the podcast. He'd found it on his own, had heard the podcast and listened intently, and now wants to do an interview and is going to include the link to the podcast in this, you know, in the paper.
Nice.
And that has potential for like hundreds of thousands of listens at that point. Three podcast interviews. We got lucky. That was one of those things, but you got to get out there and do it, right? If I'd waited for all the pieces to come together at all at the same time to make it perfect, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in now. I'm just a firm believer, and Dave, you say this all the time, just start doing it. And there's pieces that you need to get right along the way, right? Whether it's a website or whether it's SEO or whether it's some of those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, you got to get on the microphone, record something, make it good. Now, Frank's a pro, so I have an advantage. It's the best podcast I do that I'm not on. is what I say from that standpoint. Because I'm not. It's just him. It's 10 minutes of, it's a monologue. It's 10 or 15 minutes of him just talking. But it's gonna open some doors. I've told folks at work, I'm like, this is gonna open some doors, guys. This is gonna be this can be and will be an amazing, you know, podcast that we have. So you just got to get out there and do it, Dave. You just got to record some stuff. And if it's Spreaker only to start with, or if it's whatever only, eventually you will migrate that into, you know, we'll put it on Gallup.com. It'll do all its own stuff. But to get started, we just needed to start talking.
That's it. You can't, you know, people can't find what you don't launch, right? It's like, right. You can Google it all day long, but if it's like, it's an idea on my hard drive. Yeah, nobody's going to find it but you. And you can't improve what you don't launch. Somebody, I saw in a Facebook group this morning, they're like, I'm having a hard time finding a co-host. I said, launch anyway. I said, because it's a lot easier to get a co-host when you have something to co-host, right? If you go, I got an idea, I want you to be a co-host. Nobody can hear it. Nobody can see it and smell it and taste it. I said, I started off as the podcast coach. It was just me. I said, and Jim Collison came along and said, hey, you want some help? And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. I go, so it's a little easier when you have a product to say, here's what I want you to co-host. Then I have an idea, because now they're like, maybe you're just a crazy dude in your basement with a microphone, you know? Well,
and I had a buddy doing a solo cast and he was live to the hard drive and one take wonder, right? Just recording it. And so I would hear things like, so he'd be talking and his throat would get dry and then he'd go, just a second. And he'd go,
oh, nice.
And then he'd keep going, right? And he'd leave all that stuff in. And I said to him, I said, hey, you know, I appreciate the openness and stuff like that. But when you go to do that, just hit your mute button.
Yeah.
You know? And take a drink. And that'll leave this blank space in Audacity when you record it in or whatever audition. And then just go and use truncate silence and wipe all that stuff out. And so we think as monocasters or solo casters, as I like to call them, that we have to fill every second of the time that we're talking. And I think, Dave, I know, I'm pretty sure when you're recording School of Podcasting, that's not a one-take wonder, right? I am pretty sure you're recording and then you go back and fix some things. And at the end, you edit that to put it together. But at a minimum, some people don't want to do the edits. At a minimum, mute your mic, cough, laugh, clear your throat, get a drink, whatever. Leave a blank space, truncate that silence. You'll be amazed at how that'll change your production quality. And it gives you time. If you need time to think, it gives you time to think. But you don't have to record all you don't have to record the sips of water and, yeah. and those kinds of things. So, or coughing, right? Especially on a so if you got a cough or clear your throat, just hit the mute button, take that stuff out. It makes it easier on the post-production on the backside. So I think there's some tricks to even doing solo or monocasts that makes it easier.
Oh, absolutely. And if you make a mistake, the best thing you can do for yourself is just shut up for 10 seconds because it's so easy to see. I do a podcast for a company called Crazy Egg, and I'm reading their blog, doing my best to make sure it doesn't sound like I'm reading their blog. And because the person that wrote the blog post is not me, I sometimes stumble over the words because I'm like, there's no way I would say that this way. And so I'll be like, hold on, and I'll just shut up for 10 seconds, and then I'll read it again. And it's super easy to then go in and splice it together. So that's a big one. And that really cut my editing time by like a third by just giving myself an easy place to figure out where it was. Depending on your recorder, like today I said, I'm going to hit a marker. I'm using a Zoom H5 and there's a little button I can push and I can go in. And when I open up that wave file I use Sony SoundForge to edit out ums and yous and things like that. I can see that mark. So I can easily go right to that and grab that and cut and paste and all that stuff. But you're right. Yeah. I record most of the segments. Like I do the intro because I'm actually playing the music live as I do that. If I'm listening to an interview with the audience, I'm doing that. But a lot of times I will stitch them together. It's all done in the same day, but it's usually not back to back to back to back to back. It depends because there are some days when just my mouth and my brain are not in sync. And I'm like, you know,
most days for me.
Yeah. I'm like, let's go to the store and come back and try again later, shall we? Because
most days
I can't get my
Mason Twitt in chat said he didn't like truncate silence because it takes all the rhythm and pace out of a natural speech. And it does if you're aggressive with it. And this is where you got to kind of test it and get the settings right to make sure you're getting, you know, it's looking for certain lengths of time, anything over those lengths of time. And that's going to crunch it down to then you can set the setting, crunch that down to this amount of time. And if you have that too aggressive, it will absolutely, I can tell when I've listened to a podcast and someone's used truncate silence aggressively because the conversations just go, 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 go. I mean, there's no breaks in it. And naturally there are breaks in our conversation. So it's, if you're going to use truncate silence, it's one of those things you have to kind of work with and get comfortable with. And also realize every speaker has a certain cadence in the way they talk. And there are some slow talkers. And of course, so if you're going to do it and have it sound natural, you got to really open up that truncate silence to make sure that's going to work. If they're fast talkers like me, where I just go, I go and I go and I go and I go and I go, you can crunch that down a little bit. And I think for me, I look for anything longer than a second and I crunch it down to about a half a second or something, whatever that default, there's a default setting in Audacity. And that seems to work just fine for me when I'm trying to crunch that down, but it does work for those long pauses. So there you go.
And I did have a question from email and it was an easy one. I thought, oh, you know, we should talk about this. It's from Brandon Benter. He says, you know, I started a show about a month ago and I've released 4 episodes and I'm in iTunes. So congratulations. He said, in fact that I am an idiot. He didn't say idiot, but I'm putting that in here. I messed up our category. I was thinking, well, it's a wrestling podcast or generally your sports. And well, sports had a subcategory option. And basically in a long story, I'll summarize his email. I want to change my category. You know, how do I do that? And I was like, oh, this is one of those things. It's like, it's fairly easy. The big thing is you just need to know what are you using for your RSS feed? And so some people use the Libsyn feed. Some people use the PowerPress feed. Maybe you're using Spreaker. Whatever it is that you're using to make your RSS feed, I always say the RSS feed is a little bit, if you're a radio show, that RSS feed is like your frequency. So here in Cleveland, the popular station is 100.7. And so anything that the DJ does, goes out over that frequency. Well, your RSS feed is your frequency. So whatever you're using to generate that, you just go into those settings. So if you're in Spreaker, you can go into that. If you're into Libsyn, et cetera, and just change it and then save it. And then probably somewhere between 24 to 48 hours, iTunes will come back around and see those changes and update it. So it's not a big deal, because he was really beating himself in the emails, like, oh, I'm such an idiot. I was like, really, it's not a big deal.
It's not permanent. You can change them anytime you want.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. If you don't like your description, I know it's funny. I keep going back and changing the descriptions for my podcast, and I'll go back like months later and go, what was I thinking? You know, it's like, what? And then you update it, you hit save, and iTunes comes back around and does that. So
A little tip on Spreaker, if you are using Spreaker as your host for that, they have their feed by default does not include a lot of stuff. And so you want to customize it. There's a little customization button that says customize my RSS feed. Go ahead and click that. And then all those fields open up for you, including the categories that are set. So I've had to, for the four that we host on Spreaker, for the four podcasts, anyways, doesn't matter. For those that I've had to customize every single, and that you want to, because it allows you to put, because otherwise, if you don't customize it, it just pulls that information it gets from Spreaker. And that's not necessarily all the information you give Spreaker isn't necessarily the right stuff to put in the right spots for the iTunes feed that you're going to put out there. So make sure you customize that on Spreaker. I think when we get into PowerPress, same type deal. You'll go in there. That's how I kind of keep track of it, of what I'm doing to iTunes, is in PowerPress. And so you can go in and update those in one kind of one click button, and it sends it off to iTunes. So lots of good, if you're using PowerPress and you're not taking advantage of the iTunes tab in there. And now the Google Play tab is in there as well. You can fill your Google Play information. Although I think the recommendation is still to do that manually and then update the information in the plugin. I think that's what we're doing. I've gone to Google Play and just submitted my RSS feed now, and it just flies right through the PowerPress RSS feed. So, But those, they've got some boxes in there now to fill in for the Google Play stuff that's coming. Dave, we're getting a lot of questions about Google Play, and mostly like, so when is this thing going to actually happen? You got any guesses? I don't think anybody knows.
I have an official answer. I have the answer from the guy. You guys ready for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Soon. That's what everybody's heard.
When we say.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's.
Well,
it's
good. Maybe first of the year. If soon. I mean,
that would be nice.
That would seem to make sense, right?
Yeah.
Early January.
That would be cool. I know I've submitted most of my stuff. That's actually one of the things I wanted to do this weekend. It's down the list of things to do, but that would be awesome.
Here's a question for you. Impact. Okay. So. The date, that's an easy one, right? But what about impact? That's the other question. Do you think this is going to make a difference for podcasters on Android?
Well, here's the what I'm wondering is, okay, like when the podcast app came on, you know, the phone, I didn't see a huge bump. And to me, if you give somebody a tool, but you don't show them how to use it, how much impact? So it's going to be interesting to see how it works, because you can say, hey, in Google Play, you have podcasts, but I'm hoping Google does something like, learntosubscribe.com. You know, I have it to where I show people how to use this thing. And there are so many Google tools out there that you go, really? There's a thing that will, you know, make a smoothie for you? Yeah, sure. Or whatever it does. They have all these tools, but they don't explain them very well. And that's my worry. It's like, it's the teacher in me that's like, okay, here's the tool, but where's the documentation to show that? You know, I've had many a plugin that I've found that sounded great, or, you know, oh wow, you can put this on and it'll do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around for free. What a great plugin. But then you install it and you're like, I don't know, where's the button? What's the, huh? And there's no documentation. So I'm hoping that they're going to do something to boost that. So,
well, I think the average user is all about benefits, not features. And this is a feature, right? This is so they're going to enable podcast listening in Google Play. So what? The benefit still has to be so high for the average user that they'll actually go and do it. And just because they can listen to podcasts in Google Play does not mean listeners are going to flock to this. Oh, this is great, a new tool. Nobody has ever done that, right? What it will take is a big podcast like Serial or a big podcast like Marin launching on Google Play and Android users discovering it in that way for the first time. And then the rest of us will benefit when that happens. So I think it's going to go live, but we need another big podcaster to come in and say, now available on Google Play. And we need Android people to flock to it, right? That's kind of what we need. We need them to discover the benefits of it more than just the features. So unless we get something that actually attracts people to it, I mean, I don't hear the average guy saying, God, I can't wait till I can listen to my podcast on an Android device, right? The ones that want to do it have already figured it out. The ones that aren't listening aren't going to just naturally be attracted to it. So if, as podcasters, if we're hoping this is going to be the be-all, end-all in Android, I think we're going to be sorely, sorely disappointed, you know, come January 5th. I just made that day up. So yeah.
John asked in the chat room, could we as podcasters unite to promote Google Play? I hope so.
Yeah, but our listeners have already figured out a way to listen to it.
That's the truth.
So we could all say to all of our listeners, go. But they've already figured out how to do it on Android.
They're already getting it.
We got to get in new communities, right? We've got to get in places where people aren't listening to podcasts and say, hey, it's easy to do now. Here's some great content that you'll want to listen to. You know, that's the trick, is getting outside the walls that we've already created.
Mike Phillips said something insanely. I was like standing up. I was like in Facebook this morning. He said, just because somebody else bought a piece of equipment doesn't mean you should buy it. And I was like, amen, brother. I was like, but mom, it's a high LPR 40. It reminded me of those days when my mom used to say, if Johnny Johnson jumps off the bridge, are you going to jump off after him too? And I was like, well, if it's a high LPR 40 at the bottom of the bridge, yeah, I'll do that. Was there an issue with Google Play licensing? Don't they put your content on their server? Yeah, they're going to take it. It's Stitcher with a different name, basically. From what we know, they're going to, pull one episode on their server. They've reserved the right to put ads at the beginning and end. And that's why some people were like, oh, God, dude. And I'm like, look, it's, you know, we'll see. I don't.
It's just another method.
Yeah.
So it's just another method.
So,
Yeah.
So a lot of people are really getting, you know, and I was like, it's to me, I'm like, I don't have a problem with Stitcher, so I don't really have a problem with that. And yeah, here's another one from Chris. You know, do you think this is going to do anything? I don't know. I don't think Google Play is going to, or not Google Play. I don't think Apple CarPlay. It'll make it easier, but I get in my car right now. And if I have it, if it was set to Bluetooth when I got out of the car, I get in my car and it just fires up. Now, right now, I wish Apple would fix this. There's a bug in iOS that it launches Apple Music. And I am so sick. The first song in my whatever is All Things Must Pass by George Harrison. And every time I get in the car, All Things Must Pass starts. I'm ready to just shoot myself in the head. I actually went and deleted it out of my thing. And now it went to the next song, which is Always By Your Side by Sheryl Crow. They've got to fix that bug. That drives me nuts. So no, I don't, you know, because they say there's so many more Android devices than iOS, and we've always wondered. Well, you know, Rob Walsh from Libsyn has always said, yeah, but people that buy an Android phone want to talk, and people that buy an iPhone want to do more than talk. I guess we'll find out. So
yeah, I see zero impact on Google Play, you know, doing anything until people discover it becomes the way to listen to, you know, to really interesting content. Speaking of interesting content, have you listened to AM radio lately? I mean, it's an experiment. I've gone back to AM radio because that's where talk is. That's what we do, right? This is talk. This is the old talk format. And so over the last 3 weeks, I kind of tried an experiment, like, could I listen to AM radio again? And I used to be a big AM radio talk fan. Dave, I don't know why we compare ourselves to AM radio, because that stuff is crap. I mean, radio has become what I get in the morning and in the afternoon, right? Those are the hot times to listen to local AM radio. It's just awful. And I'm like, well, why do we even compare ourselves from a podcasting standpoint to radio anymore? Because it's the content that's out there is just terrible stuff that they're doing. So I think when we think about podcasting, the switch has flipped now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't even know why. I mean, it's terrible. out there. So it's if you've moved away from AM, go back and try and listen to just some of the, I mean, even some of the sports stuff that I used to listen to is so bad.
Yeah.
The state of radio, it's terrible. At least it's only in the Omaha market. So maybe it's just Omaha that's terrible.
I know. The thing I was really surprised, because I now have cable. I didn't have cable in the past, and now I do. I'm amazed at the, because I'm quadruple speeding through commercials, how many commercials there are. I'm like going faster and faster. I'm like, and then another one. It's like, and I'm like, these aren't like 15 second commercials. These are 30 second commercials. And there's another one and another one. And I'm like, holy cow. It's amazing that way that I just like, I can't believe, you know, that it just seems like an insane amount. And then I still can't believe they haven't, I need to fix this on my TV. The fact that the commercials are still way louder than the, or vice versa. Yeah. They can't.
Really? Well, and it's not reception that's bad. It's content is terrible. I mean, this is the thing, the content that they're putting out is just awful. And it's, I don't know, maybe because and a lot of the listeners out here have done the same thing. So I'm speaking to the choir at this point. They switched a long time ago. But the radio voice guy who comes in, the sports talk radio guy that comes in, that, you know, the really poor interaction, the, you know, I was just like, wow, why are we even worried about radio at this point at all? It needs to be replaced by podcasts. There's so much better content out there that podcasters are providing. We've got to get this fixed and find a way to get that content in. Now, I think the bad news is that, and I've said this a million times, with people, options equal confusion. And the problem with podcasting today, there's just way too many options.
Oh, man.
And people just check out. They're like, the content's going to need to get curated in some kind of way. And that's already starting to happen. We're starting to see big networks. The problem is, as you consolidate, you're going to leave out the little guy, the us in this. We're going to get left out. Maybe not. We're going to get left out of that. And some people don't like that. So if you think you're going to start a podcast and it's going to, you know, you're going to, it's going to have a million listeners, because you're going to hit a big, well, chances are you might be able to it. But most of us are going back to that initial conversation, most of us are going to hover in that 200 to 1,000 category and have to be comfortable with it, because that's just where we're going to be. The big boys, the ones with cash, by the way, this is what will make it successful. The ones with cash, the ones who can invest in their show, the ones who can advertise in it, they'll rise to the top. And eventually it'll consolidate and be back to the way it is now. But the content's just so terrible on radio.
Yeah, it's awesome. Anyway. Well, speaking of things that's things that aren't awesome. Here's some things that are. Andy, so I'm going to butcher his
Sokolovich.
Name. Thank you.
Sokolovich.
From unleashstrengths.com is awesome. So is Corey Finneran from ivnv.com and Ed Bubba Rowe from insideoutzone.com. If you want to be one of our awesome supporters, go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. Deeply appreciated. And he's back and his microphone is on this time. So
well, no, I had my I had this up. And what I do is I'll put this separately. I was going to do it up here and I'll show my desk on a blab. But you have to turn off your mic to do that or you get a feed coming back.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a question for Jim. Hey, Jim, can I splice this together?
Can you I don't know what you have.
No.
Oh, did it cut?
No. Our puppy got this morning.
Oh, nice.
This is my daughter's.
Nice. No, I'd buy a new one.
Yeah. $29, buddy.
$29,
do you think, for this one? Is that the
like
Apple?
$80 in the Apple Store.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say that's not the
Apple. Well, that's because you pay the Apple tax.
Right.
So anyway, just working on things. Hey, here's earlier talking about making money on online. First of all, you really shouldn't go in this to make money initially. I mean, you might if you really know what you're doing, but it takes a lot of hard work. And I'd say your website is as important as any platform to learn to make money online and then augment that online money with your podcast. One final story. You're talking about AM radio. On WP Tonic, the tech show where the programmers came to me to help them set up a podcast, one of the main guys on it does the radio show's website and develop its works. And they're trying to figure out, they're calling me how to figure out, and he was calling me to figure out how to work on the podcast. I thought that was kind of cute with a radio station.
Yeah, no, they're not. That's not their tech.
Right.
Right. That's just not their tech.
And finally, we do listen to an AM radio show every night, but we always listen to it on their podcast on demand. Yeah, from the news, things like that. And the show we listen to, they say they get, I forgot how many downloads a month. It was huge. It was way more than anybody else I know. At least they were saying it's a big radio show. Mm-hmm. So you're using Boss Jock to shoot the sound into your mixer, right? On commercials.
I have in the past. Now I'm using a thing called iJingle.
Oh, iJingle. Yeah. I've heard of iJingle.
Yeah.
Is it just an app?
It's just an app. Yeah. It's, and there goes the recorder.
Uh-oh.
yeah. I mean, I've got tons of buttons here.
So you're just using this, and then you're putting it in with RCA jacks?
RCA jacks into the mixer.
I'll tell you what. I went online trying to find – I'm using this Scarlett 2 still, but I went online trying to find a quarter-inch adapter to this, and I can't find it.
Quarter-inch. They make them. The bad news is you have to find a Radio Shack or go to Amazon or BSW.
I did. I was on Amazon, all over Amazon. I could not find RRS?
Oh, from the iPad. It's just a headphone. I mean, I've just got, remember.
It's not an RRS. Oh, no, it's right. You've got the Fire Jack. I forget. Well, no, it's the RRS. It'd be going from here.
I've got basically a headphone jack on this end.
Well, yeah,
and an RCA with a couple of adapters at the end of it. You don't have to have
RCA. You go in a quarter inch.
I basically grab these kind of things, the little adapter gizmos, right? So it's RCA on one side and that on the other. Yeah. And plug them on there and off we go. They do. I doubt that they make this to quarter inch. They might if you go to Amazon. But so that's the way I do that.
I've got to go into one mono quarter inch, though.
Have one. It's just not stereo. That's what's sending things back to the computer. It's a quarter inch to a mic input.
Just this?
I'm going from this.
That might work.
You're going from this.
Yeah.
And you have to go into quarter inch here.
Right.
So
you could do what Jim does, right? He's got that one there that takes the two RCAs into one channel. Yeah, I have one of those too somewhere. That's how
I can go. You can go back the other direction.
Yeah.
Now we've totally lost you if you're on the audio.
Yeah.
Feed.
Everybody's like this and this. Oh, that's right. Good point.
Totally ruined the
good
audio
time for a marker.
Anyway, that's the challenge and the jingle. I've heard. How long has that been out? That app?
Oh, a while. I remember the first time I saw it. There's a bit of a learning curve. But once you get it, it's pretty sweet. And for me,
Can you phase it in? Or do you have to record it, pre-record it?
No, there is no. There might be a fade in. Yeah, I think
if you have a mixer.
I think if I do this. Oh, of course, you guys can't hear that. It's pretty versatile. I just liked it because I have a setting for Ask the Podcast Coach. I have a setting for Weekly Web Tools. I have a setting for, and then it's the reason I switched. And again, I love Boss Jock. And if I didn't have so many shows, I would have never done this. But the big thing I loved is I can import things from Dropbox, which you can do in Boss Jock. And I don't know why, because it's the same Wi-Fi. It just imports faster into this app. I don't know how they're pulling the information in. But when I'm pulling in a 30-minute interview, it was taking a while in Boss Jock. And this cut off minutes. And I was like, okay, I don't know why, but I'll spend, the whatever. It's like 10, 15 bucks for an app, which is like $1 million in app money. But, if you're going to save me time, I will spend money. So
I jingle and get away from Boss Jock.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Either or. I think that they both work.
Which is the easiest?
Boss Jock, by all means. Because, again, less features that you're not going to use. So,
Boss Jock. And I think Boss Jock's 10 bills.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I'll try that. Because I'm trying. Here's the bottom line is I find my biggest shortfall, at least, is editing. Not that I don't like editing. It just takes, I don't like the time it takes.
Yeah.
So figure out how to make shorter edits. It goes back to the basics like Rob Welsh talks about. Get your podcast up and don't put too much time in your show notes.
Right.
Have it simple. Keep it simple and get it up. Yeah. I don't want to say his name, but if you look at like one of the top podcasters who makes a lot of money online, if you look at his post, it's nothing. It's like three lines, real post. Everything else is fill.
Well, here's the seesaw. There's prep and editing. Less prep, more editing. More prep, less editing. So that's the tricky part. And that's where people so you should record things live. Well, and they go that it's because when it's done, there's no editing. No, there is editing. There's editing beforehand when I'm checking all the volumes to make sure they're right. It's not any quicker. I used to always put the music in later because I have complete control over how loud it is and when it comes in and goes out. That's to me, you know, but it's post-production. So people think it takes more time. I'm like, no, I think in the long run, I just certain shows like Weekly Web Tools. Most of them, I just put the music in later. Depends on what I'm doing with the stuff.
Listening to your content and trying to go down and get all the odds out, things of that nature is what takes time. Or re-listening or thinking you forgot something. So I know the thing is get your show up and then listen to, I listen to all my shows after I get them up and actually go back and listen to some of the tech shows and learn. But anyway, well, have a great, great, great week. It's always nice to pop up and say hi. Your sound's okay. That makes sense. You don't have the compressor on today.
That's it.
Right. So you don't have that. Jim, what are you using? Are you just going direct?
Straight through.
Wow. Yeah,
XLR, but I'm going through a Mackie FX8, but there's nothing on it. It goes straight through.
A Mackie FX8, isn't that like a Scarlett 2i2?
It's a little board, soundboard.
Oh, it's just a soundboard.
Yeah. It's a mixer.
I do like the Scarlett 2i, what is it? 2i2, whatever it is. I think it actually does a little bit of work on the sound and helps the sound a bit. But it doesn't give you that mixer quality. It's things you can do with a mixer. Right. You don't use a mixer.
I used them, and I didn't find it to be an average guy solution. I thought in simplifying it made it harder.
Yeah.
I just think it's for me. If for the average guy, just go straight USB. That's just the easiest thing to do.
I really like that approach for the average person, for just anybody. Because if you're doing it right now, you sound really good.
No, thanks.
So anyway, Dave. Sorry.
Awesome. That's all right. Thanks, Bill. All right, Bill. We'll see you later, buddy.
Good talking to you, man. See you.
And I will go ahead and...
It sucks when your dog chews through the cable.
Yeah, it does. You can't hear this, but I'm actually mixing in the music as we speak. Man, a lot of good calls today. And had some questions that I thought would spike some conversation. And the chat room's been going crazy this morning. And we have a question that I definitely want to hit about... Mike, you're in the chat room. Mike Phillips knows there is a soundboard for PC. I think it's Jingle Palette. Somebody asked about that. And Stargate Pioneer says the chat room is Weeby Cray Cray today. Yeah, Jingle Palette. So that is one for the PC. I haven't used that in a while. We'll talk about that on the post show as well. I've got somebody asked me about a new, and they're coming out of the woodwork, more web hosts and things like that. So if you're listening live, we're not done. We just do an hour for the show. And then, of course, when you're an awesome supporter at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome, you get some of the post show. And so we'll be doing that shortly. And Jim, anything coming up on theaverageguy.tv you want to plug?
Yeah, actually, we've got some really cool stuff coming up here in the next couple weeks. I've been getting some more interviews. So the guy from Ring.com is coming on, the chief inventor out there. And we're also... there's a mini PC called a Kangaroo, and we're going to be talking about that. $99 full PC, Windows 10, pretty cool. It actually will do podcasting for you, too. So we'll be talking about that at the Average Guy TV.
There you go. And on Monday's show of the Ask the the School of Podcasting, I'm going to be dissecting a show that I found that gets more audience interaction than any show I've heard in a very, very, very long time. And I'll be we'll be going over what that person is doing to get that. And so you'll have to tune in on Monday to see what that is. That'll be episode 491, I believe. So thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.